You're tuning into the Active Mom Podcast with physical therapist, Dr. Carrie Pagliano, a real mom's guide to all things postpartum return to workouts after baby. If you're a postpartum mom, coach, trainer, or physical therapist looking for answers on how to get back to running, CrossFit, yoga, Pilates, HIIT, you name it, without the fear of pelvic floor issues or doing something wrong, this is the podcast for you. Let's start the show.
All right. We are talking sleep with Lauren Engler. So Lauren, thanks for joining us today. I'd love it if you tell me a little bit about what you do and kind of how you got there and, you know, tell us where you got started.
Yeah. So my name is Lauren Engler, and I am a mama of two girls. So with all of you parents, I am right there in the throes of parenthood with you. My oldest is three. So we're in the fun kind of toddler stages. I don't know if she's older than a toddler now.
It gets worse from there.
It's been interesting to say the least. Then my baby is going to be one next week.
Doesn't
feel real right now. But so for all you parents, I'm right in there with you. But I was an elementary teacher for 8 years. And I am now a pediatric sleep consultant. And I became a sleep consultant because with my oldest, who's, like I said, now three, her name is actually the namesake behind my business. So my business is Via Graces and she's Olivia Grace.
Oh, I love that.
So one, she's the reason I became a sleep consultant because she just did not sleep. And then also I think Via Graces, everything in parenting we have to do with grace because it is hard. Our kids and our spouses and each other with lots of grace. So
I love that.
Yeah, I was kind of lucky to have a newborn who slept fairly well. Not because of anything we did. I think she was just kind of a sleepy baby. She happened to sleep, but when she hit that dreaded 4 month regression, anything that was positive at all about sleep went out the window.
Might have flashbacks.
It made your skin crawl. She just stopped sleeping. She was also starting daycare. I was starting school, and we just weren't sleeping. So we were in the pattern of like, I would nurse her to sleep. She'd pop right back up. I'd rock her, nurse her, rock her, switch off with my husband. We'd finally get her asleep. We'd like try to start eating ice cream and it would melt because the other person had to go. I mean, and just all night long, we were bouncing back and forth, like tag, you're it. And just really in survival mode. We've all probably been there at one stage or another with our kids' sleep. And so we did that from kind of 4 months until she was 10 months old. The kind of school year came to an end and I was like, I can't keep functioning. Like,
I'm not
the wife I want to be. I'm not the mom I want to be. I'm not the teacher, the friend. And so I was like, we have to figure something out. And so from following a couple other sleep consultants on Instagram, we were able to get her a plan. And with a few nights, she was not only falling asleep on her own, but actually sleeping through the night. And I don't think I realized how exhausted I actually was until I got asleep, or until I realized like, okay, now I need to learn how to sleep through the night again, because I have not slept through the night in almost a year. And my life changed from having a daughter that would actually sleep. And so just kind of from our challenging first, 10 months of her life, I had lots of friends who were in similar situations. Her sleep it was great, but there were still roller coasters as she entered her years and started talking, and traveling was like, no sleep happened when we were traveling. And I was like, there's gotta be more. Like, I want to know all of this information. And so, last summer I went and got certified as a pediatric sleep consultant, and it was perfect timing because I had my second baby in October. And so I could kind of use everything I learned.
Experiment, right?
this practice. And like, again, I was a newborn parent who, right, we're going to have sleepless nights. That's just the sake of newborn world. But I felt much more equipped to know kind of how to handle that sleeplessness. Just knowing how to keep navigating my toddler sleep with a newborn at home. And just as they keep growing and changing, it has, changed everything for me personally. And then for those that I've been able to help, because sleep is everything.
So. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. My oldest did not sleep the first 5 years of his life. He started sleeping when his little sister turned three and we put him in the same bedroom together.
Interesting.
But he's also that kid that he needs to know wherever there's like roll call at night. He's like, where's Dada? Where's mama? I'm like, where's everybody? He's like,
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. My daughter knows that we turn the monitor on. She knows that we can see her and we'll be on.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, no, there's very much that there must be order in my kingdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, from kind of what perspective that I'm coming from, I tend to obviously work a lot more with the moms. Like, one of the biggest things that comes up, I think, is when moms are trying to get back to themselves or whatnot, and get back to workouts and running. Like, kind of like what you said, like, you know, you're going to have some sleep deprivation, but you don't notice it kind of build up, it creeps up. And so what do you see kind of, you know, and what have you experienced? Cause you're a little bit closer to it. Like, how does the baby's sleep affect mom's sleep the most? Like, what is it that you hear from the moms that are like, okay, this is where I'm at and this is why we need to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a really interesting question, even because as a mom myself, and I like to think that I'm superwoman and I can do it all and it's not going to affect me. Everything's fine. And I think there's a part of that that's kind of maybe instinctual in a mom, where like when you have a baby, again, those first couple weeks, especially, you're just not going to get much sleep. And I think there is something in us that just, we can do it, right? Like, yes, we can do it. We're made to handle it. And I think that's awesome and that's great, but I think it only goes so long. And I think,
yes,
I don't know if it's, again, just kind of like the society we live in where you just, you know, you've got to figure it out, right, or what it is. But I think for me personally, I just kind of kept going through that. Like, well, this is how it's supposed to be. And this is kind of my thorn as a mom. I'm going to be tired, I guess, for the next 15 years. Like, that's just how it's supposed to be. And again, I think we can handle that to some extent, but then at the same time, I didn't realize how much I was suffering because I just thought that's just the way it's going to be. And because I can handle anything, I can certainly handle this. And it wasn't until coming out of that I think I realized how much I really was affected by my lack of sleep. So I think, I think there's something, again, in newborn world, especially for nursing moms, if you're nursing, I mean, even, you know, sleep when baby sleeps, how often is baby actually going to sleep? Not
that I think is like the worst advice ever, because first of all, with my oldest, it would take 40 minutes to put him down for a 30 minute disaster nap. Yeah. Or I'd have to be driving loops on 66 and pray to God there wasn't any rush hour traffic.
Right.
But like, I'd be spinning around trying to figure out what to do in the 5 minutes, like, and we're just trying to get stuff done. Oh, and it's the worst.
Are you going to go to the bathroom? Are you, you know, I mean, there's just, so sleep when baby sleeps sounds great until you have to hold your baby when they're sleeping. So you can't sleep, or like, there's actually, you want to talk to a friend and feel like a real human being, and you know, you just can't figure out how to do it all. And so I think, and, you know, nursing moms, we have to handle the night wakings because we're nursing. Our husbands, you know, can't do that for us. But so I think, I think just as moms, you know, dads are tired too, but there's just that extra level of exhaustion. And so I think just some super practical, tips that can help, you know, moms, even in those early days when it's super sleepless. And right now with COVID, I know it's different, but I'm asking for help sounds really silly because we can do everything because we're great. But we have to ask for help, whether that's can you please come hold my baby for as long as you possibly can so I can sleep for 3 hours, or so I can go sit in the shower for an hour and just let the water hit me and not hear any cries, or, you know, have to change any diapers. Or like, please come fold my laundry, because if I see another basket not done, I'm going to lose it and I can't handle, you know, folding laundry. I think asking for help is so important. One, to, you know, humble ourselves and recognize I can't do this.
I let the laundry sit like that. And full disclosure, my kids are 7 and 9. So I have had some time to let that go.
Right.
I delegated the hell out of my life before COVID. I didn't know who was folding my laundry. You know, somebody shows up in the morning while I'm here to take the kids to school. I delegated like crazy.
Right.
This has been tough because if I need to get work done, I've got to get up at 4:30 in the morning to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I leave here, I have to switch gears because they've been, I'm homeschool teacher tomorrow, not today.
Yep.
That switch.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's the thing too, like with sleep, it's not just, you know, making sure kind of like what you said, like we get so worried about the baby making sure that they sleep. Yeah. Sometimes it's almost more important for us to sleep so that we can make those decisions and help the kids. And I think they play off our energy too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. When we're frustrated rocking forever and they're because we're frustrated and they're frustrated, they want to sleep as much as we want to sleep. Yeah. But so I think those little pieces of, you know, with night wakings, like I'm a nursing mom. So my husband would get up, change the baby's diaper and then hand her to me. So even like 3 minutes that I didn't have to get out of bed, I'm going to be awake. He did the standing up and giving me the baby. I mean, changed everything for us. Or, you know, he would take the first half of the night when, you know, those first couple of days where you just have to hold the baby constantly, you know, he would take like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. so I could sleep. And then I would take, you know, 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Really just figuring out those systems where like, how can we delegate tasks to other people? And even just like, within, you know, if you're married within your marriage, with friends, like how can we make sure that I'm able to thrive so the baby and if you have other children, they can thrive and just, it is survival mode for a little bit. So how can we all survive well? And I think a big piece of that, is just asking for help and kind of making those, you know, scheduling changes as necessary to, feel like you can get, whether it's sleep or just rest, right? That you can actually or go see your physical therapist or go massage or go. Well,
this is where telehealth is great because your baby can be sleeping right there and we're good to go. All right. Burning question. If my kid is not sleeping and, you know, and I just need to get some sleep, is my kid going to like be some awful underachiever and end up like in a garbage can under a bridge if they sleep in bed with me?
No.
Okay, good. No. Okay.
No. Okay. Nope. Cool. So I have.
Tell me the official stance on that.
No. So I'm not a co-sleeper. And I follow like with the American Academy of Pediatrics, they suggest babies are sleeping alone. So if parents are going to choose to co-sleep, I'll rewind. If I'm going to work with the family to help teach their child to sleep, we're going to make sure their child's sleeping in a separate sleep space to make sure they're safe and, you know, we're teaching them to sleep independently. But what I always tell parents, you know, parents will say like, is it wrong that I'm co-sleeping? Is it wrong that I nurse them to sleep? Is it wrong that I rock them to sleep? Like, I'm not going to tell anybody they're wrong.
No. And my kid didn't read the book. I'm sorry. They didn't.
If co-sleeping is your desire, please research it to do it safely. But if that's your desire, and if it works for your family, I'm not going to tell someone not to co-sleep. If someone truly enjoys nursing their baby to sleep, please do that. I had seasons where it was really easy to nurse her to sleep and it was sweet. Or, I've heard grandparents of like, I rocked him to sleep until he was 5 and I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's my mother-in-law. Rocking to sleep.
And if it,
you're ruining them.
If it works for families, I'm so thankful. We had a season where it worked for us and then it really didn't work. And when it didn't work, it really didn't work. Yeah. And so for me, I kind of come in there. I feel like I work with two kinds of families. One where they're the families who have gone to the place where I was of like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
I have bedtime. I'm waking up constantly in the night. Shouldn't they be sleeping through the night by now?
Yeah. Like my quality of life is no good. Yeah.
Exactly. Of like, we just need help and we need it now. Yep. Or the other side is families who are like, I've seen friends get there and I don't want to get there. So
prevention, right? Exactly.
Exactly. But for people who, I've worked with moms who they end up wanting to sleep train, but they're like, I'm okay to wake up 5 times a night because that's my job as a mom. But I feel like my baby is suffering because of it. You know, again, kind of that superwoman, we can do it. But yeah, for families, I'm going to work with families on getting their babies in their own sleeping spaces. But if families are in some sort of system that works well for them, then that's great, right? We all have to make decisions.
Yeah. I think that's super important, especially right now. Cause I mean, it's not the same. I can't even imagine what it's like to have a baby under one and a toddler, you know, like a 3-year-old where, you know, you're second guessing going places. Like we used to go to the grocery store for fun to get out of the house.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, I think that's an excellent point where there's the shoulds. And if you want to do that, if you're at that point, there are resources like you that can be helpful. But across the board, everyone that I'm talking to in every kind of topic area, whether it's breastfeeding, sleeping, sometimes you've got to do what works for your family.
Yes.
And it's not in a book anywhere. And I think that's where all the Insta comparison stuff, well, they're doing this and they're doing that, and I should be doing this. And especially when you're a first time mom, and even second time, you know, my oldest, we split up. My husband would get my oldest when he woke up, and I would get the little one. And if my husband was traveling, I'm like, okay, please God, let the older one wake up first. I'll put him back. And then the baby will wake up and I'll feed the baby instead of the older one waking up while the baby.
Yes, totally. Yep, yep.
But I will say, I am currently co-sleeping with our puppy.
You have a tail on your face when you wake up in the morning.
You know what? I tried to, we got her before COVID. She is a pre-COVID puppy. she was always wanted. Well, it's so funny because at first I was like, she must learn to sleep on her own. I saw myself kind of going back to that judgment stuff.
Yeah.
She's a great little sleeper, and I get up early. She'll come with me downstairs. I put her in like her little bed, and then she'll sleep for like 3 hours at my feet while I'm working. So my kids never did that. Right. That would be great.
Right. It's attachment parenting pet style, right?
That's exactly. So, I mean, there's ways to make up for, you know, what you did in earlier times.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, if people want to find you, this is where you can find Lauren on Instagram. And what's your website, Lauren, if people are looking for you?
It's viagraces.com.
Oh, great. That's super easy. I love it when people brand nice and simple. And you work virtually, yes?
I do. Yeah. Especially now that it's totally virtually. I can work with people, you know, once COVID is over in person, but I've helped people all over the world actually. So I can help right on the phone and Zoom. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. One of the good things I think that's come out of this is people have reframed how they can access help and be able to not necessarily, I mean, it's great that you're in our community, you're in Alexandria, you're local to us, but it's also great that you can get help from pretty much anywhere. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Congrats on the 1 year old.
You
survived again the first year.
I know it. And I'll have to enter toddler world again, but that's
exactly. Good luck with that.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy the podcast? If so, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell a friend to do the same. Register now for the free on-demand postpartum mama masterclass, How to Overcome the 3 Most Common Return to Run Mistakes. You can skip to the good part and get back to running while missing these mistakes. Find this and more free resources under the patient section on carriepagliano.com. This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Carrie Pagliano and her guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical advice and is for entertainment purposes only. Always consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.